Hello, hello, and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on His heart, His love, and the truth of His word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station, broadcasting live from Globe Life Park, excuse me, in Arlington. We have 4 million listeners tuning in globally. Last week, our top 10 countries tuning in were the United States, Germany, India, Finland, France, Brazil, China, Spain, Mexico, and South Africa. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focused with Angela Duncan or on podcasts under Focused with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focus is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. I'm having tongue twisters today. Today we have a great show for you. I am super excited about this show. We have the phenomenal Pastor Natasha Byrams, joining us live again from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pastor Natasha is, I'm sorry. Pastor Natasha's passion is to bring healing and freedom to those oppressed through the power of the Holy Spirit. She has been gifted to address issues pertaining to various traumas that many have encountered, and many have acquired the tools necessary to walk in true freedom with her. Please welcome Pastor Natasha to the show. Hello, Pastor Natasha. I am sorry.
Good to be with you all again.
Yes, that's the thing about live. You know, you got your stuff and you be like, wait a minute, did I write that right? Anyways.
Yeah.
So good to see you, and I'm so glad you're back on the show.
Thank you. I love
the title that it's called Freedom is Reality, because last time you were on the show, for those that may not have been on, got a chance to check that one out, it was phenomenal. And you talked about inner healing and freedom. And that's one of the things that you talk about a lot, is the fact that we can walk in freedom, that inner healing is something that has been paid for in Christ Jesus. And I love the fact that you wanted to talk about the fact that freedom is a reality, because for a lot of people it's not. And
right.
So, yeah, let's talk about that, okay? We're going to discuss the truth that freedom is reality. And I say truth because it's not just a fact. It is a truth that is available to us in Christ Jesus. So let's discuss this statement. What does that mean when you say that freedom is reality? What is that saying to you?
Well, you know, within the context of any kind of addiction, any kind of bondage, any kind of struggle, whether it's emotional, whether it's a physical struggle or a spiritual struggle, mm-hmm. a lot of times we settle for just maintaining it, you know, trying to manage. Mm. And a lot of times people will seek help through programs, other resources, and they just never get complete freedom.
Yeah.
And when we say that freedom is a reality, I'm trying to explain to people it's not an illusion. It's not a carrot that the Lord is dangling in front of you, and every time you reach for it, it just pulls back. You know, it really is a reality in Christ. You can be truly free from any addiction, any bondage, any stronghold, because Christ came and set us free. And in Him, that it's the truth, and you will know it. And a lot of people don't believe that it's really possible for them to really be free. And that's why we continue to tell them, hey, we're not lying to you. This is not hype. This is not a bunch of hype, you know, to try to get you excited and just stroke you. There's work to be done, but if you do the work, you can be free. You can be free.
Good point. There's work to be done. It's funny, me and my husband were having this conversation last night, and I said, you know, I think a lot of people don't think that there's freedom in Christ, because it seems like, you know, we're, like you just said, we're offered all these different things, and it's like, oh, it doesn't work. I tried that, it doesn't work. Or they either have the thought that, hey, this is just something that it's my lot in life. Until Jesus comes back, I'm just going to have to carry this, you know. And he was saying the same thing. He said, a lot of times people just don't want to submit to the process of, like, doing the work. I mean, there's some things we have to do. We just want to think that sometimes that God is just going to boom. And he does work like that. You know, he does boom, heal. He does boom, you know, deliver from addiction. I know people that have had that happen. But sometimes we have to also go through the process and do the work. Do you see that a lot of times people just are afraid to do that, don't want to do that?
Well, you know, especially these days, you're not seeing a lot of just instantaneous deliverances because a lot of freedom or a lot of issues that we call bondage are tied to our hearts. And that's the issue. You know, that's the issue. When we're talking about process, it's not difficult to get rid of a demonic entity. That's very easy. You use the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood, the finished work of the cross. The issue is that that thing is attached to that person's heart. Wow. And there's an aspect, a part of us that really does align with it, has an affinity to it, is submitted to it, and that's the process part, getting the heart cleansed, you know?
Whoa.
All the layers, and people don't want to talk about that. That's why they want God to just wave a magic wand and just set them free, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good, and I think that's a key. It is a huge key. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, that's why inner healing goes together with deliverance, you know, because a lot of times the Bible tells us that it's the truth that makes you free.
Mm-hmm.
The truth has to penetrate your heart, and you have to submit to it. And the problem that we have today, Angela, is that we want to do Christ our way.
Come
we do
on.
Not want to submit to the word of God.
Yes.
We don't. Everybody's saved. Everybody says, I'm a Christian. But we're all doing it our way. And the Bible is very clear about protocols to keep us, not just get you free, but keep you free.
Ooh, that's good. We want to do it our way. And we don't want to submit. And that's the thing. True freedom is only found in doing it his way. And you're right. We are very, I mean, we were talking about that. And my husband was saying how prideful of us, you know, that sometimes we can, and not this isn't a beat up, but it's just a truth, that sometimes we can be so prideful and we can think that we know best. But we want all this from God, but we're not willing to do, like you said, what it takes. So let's go into Galatians 5:1. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And the reason I've always loved this scripture where it says it's for freedom's sake that Christ has made us free. I think many believers read that and think, you know, I know I've been set free in the spirit. I know I'm a new creation, but you know, I just believe it's so much more than that. It's not just about being free in the eternal realm, but it's also about being free on earth. And so let's talk about that. What was Paul saying here, and how can we apply that to our lives?
Well, there's a lot if you can pull out of this scripture. When you read it from the NIV, which is the translation that you read, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that is saying there really are no ulterior motives. Mm. God's not trying to do something to you, take something from you, you know, make you not live your best life, not have your best time. You know, people tend to think that when they come to Christ, all the joy is gone. All the happiness is gone. The Lord wants you to be free for the sake of you experiencing true freedom.
So
you know? That's the NIV version, but when you read the King James version, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I'm going to set you free, but I'm giving you the option of whether you want to stay free or not. You know, I'm giving you that option. He's saying, don't get burdened again. Don't get entangled. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't go back to the mess.
So good.
I'm setting you free because I love you. I'm setting you. You don't owe me anything. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm setting you free because I love you.
Ooh.
So don't go back to this and get yourself entangled. And when people say, you know, I know that I'm free in the spirit, I don't think that we truly understand that bondage starts in the spirit. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. cannot have any kind of physical bondage that is not manifesting, that has first had a stronghold on your, or a hold on in the spirit realm. You know, so yes. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1 tells us, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Mm. You know, you're saved, you still need cleansing in on the spirit level. Mm. You know?
Yes.
And I think that that's a reality that hits hard, because we think, you know, because I'm saved, my spirit is all clean and all of the problems are just in the flesh. Mm-hmm. But your spirit, there are some deep-seated stuff that's rooted in our spirit.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where the process... Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like you were still talking of sanctification, and that process comes through.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, people don't realize that that process still has to take place. What I love that you just said was that there's no ulterior motive in Christ. He set us free.
Yeah.
He set us free. And it was the most unselfish, most loving situation. It wasn't for, oh, I want you to do this now because I did this. See, that's what people do. That's human nature. If I do this for you, then what you gonna do for me? If I do, you know, and so I think we have that mindset that there's always something in the back of God's mind that if I do this for you, if you, you know, if I really set you free, you're gonna have to do this, 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 and this. And God's love is just so magnificent that, like you said, he wants you free just because he wants you free.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And we tend to project onto God our sinful nature.
Come on.
You know, we project onto him. And see, everything in the dark kingdom comes with a price. You might be having the best time of your life right now with all of this sensuality and all the stuff that we're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your virtue. Mm. It's going to cost you health. It's going to cost you right alignment with Christ. It's going to cause you kingdom authority. It's going to cost you. Nothing is free in the kingdom of darkness. Wow. Nothing. So you could be having the time of your life, you know, but at some point, Satan's going to come for payment. But God's not like that.
Then
we come into the kingdom of God, we think that God has some ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. God has no ulterior motive. He doesn't need to have one. His own. I mean, God does not need us. He loves us.
Ooh.
He loves us. He's God all by himself.
Preach. Preach.
Satan needs us. In order for his kingdom to thrive, he has nothing. He was kicked out of heaven completely poor with absolutely nothing. In order to build his kingdom, he has to rob us. That's why he's a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he needs you to come into agreement with him so that he can steal and rob you. God doesn't need anything from us. Everything that we have, he gives us because he loves us.
Jesus. That is so good. I love the way that you paralleled the two, because there is, and like you said, the Father's heart is so different. And like you said, we put our sinful nature on him, and we think that he's like us, and he's not.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
With that said, how I think it's so important that we understand God's heart and his unfailing love for us to truly walk in freedom. You kind of hit on that, but let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how can you truly be free without really understanding how much God loves you? I think that's the beginning. I really do.
Yeah, the love of God is the foundation for you to even pursue that freedom. You know, because whenever we're dealing with bondage, whenever we're dealing with addiction and strongholds and things of that nature, there is fear there. It's rooted in fear. Mm-hmm. And 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear.
Right.
Because fear involves torment. Now, when we're talking about bondage, one of the main torments that people have is, I'll never get free. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I'm too sinful. You know, you don't know what I've done. Yeah. I've had people sit in my office and say, if you really knew the things that I've done, you wouldn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have no idea how the things I've done. I've had people sit in my office and confess that they've murdered someone.
Wow.
Or, you know, done
wow.
stuff to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you know that God loves you unconditionally, you will not be convinced that that hold that the enemy has on you that came as a result of sin in your life, that God's going to set you free. Because now you're looking at yourself through guilt, through shame, you know,
yeah.
and you can't imagine that God just wants to set you free just because he loves you. So the love of God has to totally overshadow your heart and convince you, you know what, you belong to me, I'm coming after you, I'm going to wash
wow.
you in my own blood and cleanse you and set you free because I love you. Nothing. What shall separate us from the love of God?
Mm.
Nothing. Nothing. And so that is absolutely foundational, because otherwise the enemy will trip you up with guilt, with condemnation, with shame, you know, self-rejection, self-hatred, all of those things that play into keeping people in places of addiction and bondage, you know. So I agree with you completely. There has to be that foundation of love established in somebody's heart.
Why
we do inner healing with deliverance, because we have to find out why you will not allow yourself to receive forgiveness, receive the love of God. Where is that coming from? Let's get to the root of that so we can establish a foundation on which we can build, which is the love of Christ for you unconditionally.
I love that. Oh my
yeah.
goodness. Is this what you do with God's Gate?
Yeah, G Gates.
Okay.
Which represents God's gates. We take people through a process of restoration, tearing down walls in their hearts, you know, self-hatred, self-rejection. And they usually come because they're in bondage to something, but you can't get the demons to stay away because they don't believe that God loves them.
Yes.
And if you don't believe God loves you, if you don't believe that you're enough, then guilt and condemnation, all those things attract demonic power, and it attracts bondages to your life, you know? And we're going to try to self-soothe. We're going to try to deal and cope with voids in our lives with all kinds of various forms of bondage.
Ooh.
So that's why you got to have both. I used to do just deliverances, and then you don't see people stay free. Then you do just inner healing, and you're like, okay, there's something else there that we need to get rid of. So, you
got to have both. Yes, it's so funny. You were several people that I've had on the show that do deal with deliverance, deal with helping people get free. That's exactly what they say. They're like, you gotta, just what you said. I mean, it has to be both. You can kick the devil out, but you've got to also replace it with that love, the love and the foundation of who God is and who Christ is. Or like you said, or they won't want to stay free.
Exactly.
He'll come back, and he comes back stronger, and it's like, ooh, you know what I mean? If you're not, if you don't have tools. If you don't have tools. This is totally like off the subject, but this is something that I'm just thinking. Why did you decide to start this process? Like, was this something you walked through, or was this something that you just saw a need? Like, were people just coming to you for counseling and you were like, man, this is something that I need?
Yeah, you know, I kind of got thrown into this, never did deliverance in my entire life. And we started ministry in our home, nice, safe little, you know, living room. And then our first building was an old Taco Bueno building.
Uh-huh.
And we set up the church. There was no foyer. There was no other room you can go to. If you step in, you're in service.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a box,
right.
A small box. And that box was in the highest crime area in our city. And so we had people who had all kinds of mental illness. Drunkards just interrupt our services and their demons would manifest.
Wow.
And that's how I got into this. I was like, you know what? Where is the power of God? If we're going to have church and people are just going to come in and just start growling and start blaspheming and doing all kinds of stuff, you got to have the power of God to shut some things down. And that's how, and I just saw how broken people were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
had people who would walk the streets talking to themselves, talking to the air. Those are demonic spirits literally tormenting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen God time and time again set people free. Just set them free. You know, that's why I say freedom is a reality. It's not an illusion. It's not a lie. It's the truth.
Yes, and you are witnessing. You're watching it. Now, do you have a team that you train?
Yes, we have a group of intercessors. We have people at our in our ministry who help me with deliverance. You never do deliverance by yourself.
Oh, yes. You
know?
No, don't.
We have classes that we teach on this. One class we're offering, Demons and Deliverance. You know, I mean, the title is pretty straightforward, but you learn, you learn about the demonic and you learn how to get people free and also how to get yourself free.
Yeah.
You know?
Self-deliverance.
So it's needed.
It is. And I think you have to, like, I have friends that do deliverance and they said, you have to believe that Christians can have demons, first of all. That's like the beginning, because so many people believe that you can't. And so then she's like, that we got to get over that. And then that it should be a commonplace in our services. My pastor always says that. He's like, that should be common. The power of God should be moving in our services. I mean, that shouldn't be a shock, like, somebody got set free. You know, it should happen. And so you have to convince people, you know, that to come out of, like we talked about last time, just to even be real and to say, hey, I got this trauma, I've got this issue. And that's a whole nother, we talked about that last time, just the whole, you know, being honest and not being afraid you know, if you might manifest, if you might, I mean, we've all been, that's my pastor is always like, don't be embarrassed about that. Everybody needs deliverance. We've all been through deliverance at some point, you know, and so, you know, I think the stigma of that needs to go, because we think too, you know, the exorcist, and sometimes it is like that, but a lot of times it's just, you know, you have some things, some trauma, some childhood things, some different things that are just preventing you from moving forward. And that seems like you do both the heavy hitting and
And you know, I think that there's a stigma on it because the church is not acquainted very much with the power of God.
Come on.
So all of our services are so sweet and pleasant and neat and tidy.
Oh,
and everybody looks like they got it together, because the power of God ain't moving. When the power of God is moving, everything's not so neat and tidy, because God is going to start penetrating some stuff, tearing down some stuff, you know, uprooting some stuff. And we are not acquainted a lot of times in our American churches with the power of God. We're acquainted with an agenda and a program and wonderful songs, but when the power of God begins to move, you move. Stuff happens, you know? And if we were more acquainted with the power of God, Angela, deliverance would not have a stigma. It would be so commonplace.
Yes.
You'd be like, oh yeah, I got delivered today from this thing. Oh, Sister Susie got free from this thing. It would be so commonplace. It's because every once in a while, the Spirit of God will move and somebody will start trembling and everybody's looking at that person.
Yes.
We have literally pushed God out of our services.
Man.
When it actually happens, it's like a show. We're like, oh my goodness, what happened? And it needs to be, you know, part of our everyday lives, like the early church.
Oh man, that is such a, oh man, you're hitting it. That's my heart that returns, because it's so needed. You know, it's so needed. And it's the love of God. It's the love of God and the power of God. He wants us free.
Yes, yes.
I said,
but we don't want to be free. We don't want to be free. And I think that that's the biggest issue, Angela. It's not whether God can set us free. It's not whether it's a reality. It's the fact that we love the stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
We do.
We it hurts sometimes, and we hate the consequences, but there's a part of us that just loves our mess and trying to get the believer to give up the mess, the pleasure part, the little pleasure part that the enemy works in there, trying to get them to give that up so that they can have true freedom is the biggest challenge.
And we're talking about believers.
Yes. Jesus said that deliverance is the children's bread. You know?
Yes.
It's the children's bread.
Yes.
Not the Gentiles. The children's bread.
It's
part of what he puts at the table when he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He serves you freedom. He serves you deliverance, because he does it in front of your enemies, because the door that the enemy is using in your life to sabotage you, he says, here, eat this, here, take this, so that you can get free, so that you can get delivered, so that you can get restored. Oh, it's the children's bread. God wants his people free. His people.
That is so God, his people. And that's the thing. I'm like, this show, I'm sure unbelievers listen to it, but it's really geared to believers. And when I'm talking, we are talking to the body of Christ. And I said that a couple weeks ago. I said a bound Christian is such an oxymoron.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have so many bound Christians.
Yes. I mean, Christians are dealing with the same stuff the world is dealing with.
We are.
Okay, so if I'm going to cast out a spirit of anxiety and panic out of a Gentile, and then I have a brother or sister who's dealing with anxiety, antidepressants, taking antidepressants and everything, don't you think they have the same spirit? Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They're struggling with the same thing. Same
That's
open
good.
Doors.
That's good. Woo! Okay. I'm like, Lord, where are we going next? Because this is so good. Is it God's desire that we experience freedom in our lives? And I think you spoke to that. But the reason I wanted to even address this is because I talk to people, and many think that we're supposed, you know, part of taking up our cross and following him is like, you know, we're going to have all these issues on this side. We can't fully expect to be free on this side. Like, this is just my lot in life kind of thing. What would you say to that? Because I've had people say that. Like, well, you know, we're going to totally be free in heaven. But, like, there's some things, you know, we're supposed to just deal with on earth. And go ahead.
Well, you know, there's your lot in life, and then there's your lot in Christ. And
that's good.
There's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference. This fallen nature will serve you a lot, you know, but there is another life that we have in Christ. And when we talk about taking up your cross and following Christ in Mark chapter 8, I really want people to see the context in which Christ spoke about this. Jesus was talking about going to the cross and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Peter comes to him and says, far be it from me for this to happen to you. I'm not going to let them just crucify you like that and you just die. And what does Jesus say? Jesus rebukes him, rebukes Satan and says, Satan, get behind me, because you're not concerned with the things of God. You're concerned with the things of man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then it goes into Jesus calling his disciples and say, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross and die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with bondage.
Good.
Okay? So your cross should lead you closer to the Lord. Bondage never leads you closer to the Lord.
Jesus.
An addiction to porn is not the cross that Christ is talking about.
So good.
An addiction to alcohol or addiction to weed is not the cross. It doesn't draw you closer to God. The cross that he's talking about is dying to your appetites that wants the bondage, dying to yourself, so that you can have Christ, so that Christ can be formed in you. So that is extreme misinterpretation of scripture.
Rightly dividing. Go ahead.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Oh my. And I think that goes back to, again, we come up, my pastor always says, is when things aren't working in our life and we're not seeing the power in our life, we come up with our own doctrines as to why it's not working. Instead of just saying, well, maybe we're not submitted fully to the word, or maybe we really don't want to get free, or maybe we really like to kind of still pet this demon a little bit and like it in our lives.
Yeah.
We have an appetite for this or that. And so, you know, that's how we come up with these doctrines. Because I've heard people say that. Well, you know, just... You know, this sickness, until Jesus, you know, and they think it's maybe they're supposed to be like a martyr or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know anywhere where that is shown.
No.
You know, that we're...
No. And you know what? I think it's a good time. You know, when David sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan brought it to his attention, you know, and he repented. But we need to read Psalms 51, because I think Psalms 51 will help us understand when people say, you know, there's this thing in our family, it's generational, and now it's my life, and, you know, it's just what it is. It is what it is, you know, that kind of thing. We all struggle with diabetes. We all struggle We all struggle with this. And so when you read Psalms 51, I want to point something out that most people don't know. Well, they might, but they don't pay attention to. In Psalms 51, it highlights three different forms of failure in our lives. Okay. So it goes, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. That's one form of failure.
Okay.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That's a second form. And cleanse me from my sin. Okay, let's stop right there. Sin is mistakes that we make every day. We all sin and fall short. Okay? I didn't greet you. You came on, I didn't greet you. Why? Okay? You're tripping. So I sin. Transgression is willful rebellion. You know the Bible says, don't do this, you do it anyway. It's rebellion.
Come on.
Okay? So sin is making a mistake. Transgression is, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to go fornicate anyway. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to go do this anyway. That's transgression.
Okay.
Iniquity is the sin nature that's passed down to me from my mother and from my father.
Come
that's
on.
Still working in me. And I am not necessarily repenting of that, which is usually the open door for bondage.
Okay.
Because what do we usually repent of? We repent of the mistakes that we made, and we repent of rebellion. But very rare do we repent of what's been passed down to me, the way that I am, the way that I think, you know, just my flow that is contrary to God. And that is what, and that's part of your spirit. It's part of cleansing your spirit. Okay, because it's so ingrained in us that the enemy can attach bondage to that. So when David is repenting here, he's like, I'm repenting for my sin. I'm repenting for my rebellion. And I'm repenting for what's in me that makes me want to do this thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. And this is real. This is not, you know, when we hear teaching like this, a lot of times we just shout and be like, oh my God, it was so good. But this is real. And we have to repent, not just for our sins and our transgressions. It is the stuff that's in us. You know, when we're talking about, I'm keeping it 100. This is just who I am. You
Come
just better accept
on.
Who I am. That's iniquity. Who you is the iniquity part that we're talking about.
Yes.
And so there was one time I was trying to cast out this demon in somebody and it wasn't moving. And so I went to the Lord and I said, I know the problem's not with you.
Yeah.
Because you're all powerful. So what's the problem, Lord? Because I have been watching anything. I've been doing nothing. I pray all the time. You know, I'm not rebelling. I'm in your service. And the Lord says it's something that's been passed down to you that needs to be cleansed from you. That's still in the background of your life. Let's deal with that. And so a lot of people don't think they can get free because all they focus on is sin and transgression. But we need to cleanse the bloodline. We need to cleanse what you came out of.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's deep.
And it's real.
I have read that scripture. I love the way you broke that down. I was reading it with you while you were just talking. I've read that scripture so many times. And for you to break that down, that is so good. Oh my goodness. I'm just sitting
because,
here.
You know, it's the iniquity of the fathers that's passed down. It's
yeah.
the iniquity of the fathers that God judges. It's not your sin. You're not paying for your parents' mistakes. You've come out of them, and so there are aspects of how they, you know, they act, you act that way. They used to do certain things, now you're doing it. And that's what God is judging. I'm seeing a pattern of sin in this family, you know, and I'm seeing a pattern of iniquity patterns in this family. That's what God is judging generationally, and that's what we need to address generationally.
Yes. So, I mean, and it can stop with you. It doesn't have to.
Yes.
Come on.
It can.
Come on.
Yes, it can. And I tell people all the time, Angela, when it was time, the children of Israel were captured and carried into Babylon that into captivity to Babylon. That's where we get our three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, mm-hmm. that you read about at Sunday school, mm-hmm. and Daniel. You know, they were in chains, in shackles, okay? Mm-hmm. Then Jeremiah prophesies, after 70 years, God is going to visit the children of Israel and bring them out of Babylon. Daniel remembers the prophecy, and Daniel goes before the Lord and begins to pray. And you know what he prays?
What's he pray?
He says, Lord, forgive me and my forefathers for our iniquity. Forgive us. It's our iniquity that got us here. Mm-hmm. Because we know that Daniel was an upright man. We know that Daniel did not sin flagrantly. He wasn't transgressing. He was an upright man, found favor in the Lord. But he said, the stuff that was in my dad and my forefathers can be in me, so I'm asking for you to forgive me and them. Mm-hmm. And that's when warfare happened in the heavens. Principalities over Persia started warring because he was praying that God would forgive the iniquity that brought them into bondage.
Wow.
It's powerful.
It is. It is. What about, what do you think about, for like, if people aren't really sure, but they know... Like, I guess, how do you start that process? I know that I went through that because at one point I was dealing with some things and I began to fast and pray because I was like, God, there's something there. And I knew something was there that wasn't necessarily me, like you just said. And it was once I fasted and prayed, the Lord told me what it was. And it shocked me, but it was something from my bloodline. And he told me what it was. And I was like, say what? You know? And I had to go through deliverance. And it wasn't anything, you know, and it kind of felt like, well, Lord, I didn't open that door. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, and so I guess what I'm asking is, if a person knows they're something there, do they just go before the Lord and just ask? Because, you know, there's a lot of people that say, hey, our sin was nailed to the tree. We're done. God, Jesus took it and that's it. And then I've heard people say, well, no, you still got to walk through some deliverance because of things that are lying dormant and just different. You know, I don't know a whole lot about that. But what can you say about, I know that when I went through deliverance, it was very clear and the Lord showed me what it was. And it was an open door from a forefather. So for people that may be wanting to walk in freedom, and how do they start, as far as, do they just ask the Lord to just cleanse their line from iniquity?
Well, first of all, look at the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know a tree by the fruit.
Mm.
And one of the problems we have in America is that we're on the go so much that we don't have very much time for introspection.
So good.
We are completely detached, disconnected from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We live on the surface.
On
the surface, we go from one thing to the next thing. You know, we're working and we're doing this, then we're hanging out, and then we're watching a movie, and we're doing... There's no time for introspection, for revelation. And I'm not talking about revelation where you gotta go preach something. I'm talking about revelation mm-hmm. about you.
Yeah.
Where God can just speak to you.
Yeah.
Okay? We're completely... A lot of us are out of touch with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Because we're on the go. So the first thing I would say is slow down.
You
need time. If you want to get free, you are literally, you cannot get free on the go.
Mm.
This ain't no drive-by service. You need to stop, slow down, because God wants to talk to you.
Oh, so good.
He wants your heart. He wants to explain some things to you. Slow down, step back, and take a look at your life through the lens of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, that's going to take time because we don't even read our word. Okay. So that's going to take some time. So you need to slow down. Then you need to confess what you do know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do repent of what you do know, you ask questions. Why do I want to do this in the first place? See, okay, so if I lied... I can go, Father, please forgive me for lying.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I know that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. Lord, thank you for forgiving me for lying. But why did you lie in the first place? Okay? If you start asking God questions like that,
yeah.
Why do I like this?
Yes.
Why do I want this?
Ooh,
why am I drawn to this?
Yes.
You know, what in me? Now you start talking iniquity. Now you start talking God's language.
Wow.
Now you're really pleasing the Father, because you're not just trying to get off the hook. You really do want to change. And you want to have a deeper conversation beyond, I don't feel guilty no more. You want to find out, how can I look different, sound different, be different? And that is the problem why most people don't get free, because we're not wanting the whys. We just want to be like, okay, I sinned, and then you go to church and say, you know, if you repent, God is merciful, and His grace is sufficient, and it's covered by the blood.
So
and
good.
So we never change,
so
and we
good.
Keep coming to the altar for the same stuff.
Yep.
So you got to ask the why questions.
Ooh.
And the Holy Spirit loves why questions. He loves
yes.
why questions. And He's going to show you. Don't ever think that you can't hear from the Lord. God will find a way mm-hmm. to speak to you, to get you to hear. You don't have to be a prophet to hear from God.
Come on. I love the fact that you said, look at the fruits.
Yes.
You will look at your life, and you can look at your family's life. If
exactly.
there's anger going through your family, and y'all have all been like that, and we all have children out of wedlock, and we all are living in poverty or
yeah.
whatever the thing, there's always fruit. And that was
yeah.
one of the things I started noticing, was like, okay, you know, this is some of the things I'm seeing. Let's start here. Let's start repenting from this. Let's start, you know, calling this out and putting that before
right.
the Lord. And then it was like, boom, this is a big part of that, was this, you know? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, had no idea, you know, but the Holy Spirit, like you said, I mean, He showed me that, but it took me wanting to find that out, because I was so tired of the torment. I was
yeah.
so tired of whatever, you know, the bondage or whatever.
Yeah.
So that is so good. Slowing down, looking
yes.
at the fruit of your
yeah.
family, of your life. Why are you angry all the time? Why are you drawn to this? Why do you always want to do this, that, and the other? That is so good. I get free every time you come on the show. So let's talk about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That is, they need to look at their dreams. Pay attention to what you're dreaming at night, especially if you're dealing with things where you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell people all the time, when you go to sleep, your body is asleep, your conscious mind is asleep, but your spirit is not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your spirit is engaging with the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
And God is giving you a glimpse of what's going on. So if you're being chased in your dreams, you know that you're dealing with some stuff. If you're seeing, you know, all kinds of bondage, you're having sexual encounters in your dreams,
mm-hmm.
your dead grandma's coming to you in your dreams, and all of this stuff, you know, pay attention to that's not just a bad nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
The children of God should not have nightmares. He gives mm-hmm. His beloved sweet sleep.
Sweet sleep.
So if you're having these kinds of dreams, they are an indication of bondage in your life. Dreams when you're back home, you know, in your grandma's house, and that's dreams that's showing that your life is going backwards, not moving forward. You know, it's God is constantly speaking, constantly trying to get our attention.
Mm.
So that's another thing. A lot of times when God can't get our attention through a minister, through a prophet, through a teaching that you're listening to, through reading your word, He'll show it to you in your dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. You have upcoming summer classes. I know people that are listening are like, man, I would benefit
yeah.
so much from this. So you have some upcoming summer classes that you're offering this summer. Now, are they in person because you're in Tulsa, or are they virtual, or both?
They're both.
Okay.
We're offering them in person and virtual.
Okay. What are the dates for that?
So our in-person classes are starting August 21st. Most of those classes are on Saturday
okay.
for about an hour and 15 minutes. They're 8-week classes.
Wow.
And if you can take it in person, I would encourage you to take
mm-hmm.
these classes in person. But they are also online, very powerful classes that are going to help you get free from some stuff. You're going to learn so much. And it's truth. You know, deliverance is a truth encounter. Alexander Pagani said that all the time,
mm-hmm.
that deliverance is a truth encounter. It's not a power encounter.
Mm,
you know?
Truth.
And it's the truth that makes you free. Not
mm-hmm.
the power of God. The truth
mm-hmm.
in your heart sets you free. So take the classes. They start in August 21st. They're in person and they're online as well.
Okay, so what are some of the topics that you want to kind of tell us a little bit that you'll be teaching on? I know you have a one on sexuality, youth sexuality, that you want to really talk about.
Yes, it's called Kadosh Youth. And we are trying to raise up some youth that are coming off of porn, sexting. You know, our youth are taking pictures of themselves and they're sending it to people. You know, just getting our youth back on fire from God. Kadosh is the Hebrew word for consecrated, set apart. Mm-hmm. And we want some young people who are consecrated and set apart.
So good.
And not and not bound to perversion. Mm. And they can come inbound. Take the class with your porn addiction. You're not going to stay with it. It's going to break off of you. And, you know, we're just trying to reach our young people to get them free. We also have sexuality for adults. And that's for single and married people. You know, married people talk about the bed being undefiled. And there's this misconception that you can do whatever you want if you're married, and that is not true. You cannot bring the world into your bedroom. You'll defile your bedroom. And so there are some things that married people do in their sex lives that's causing poverty in their lives, that's causing the flow of the Holy Spirit not to move, all of those things. For single people too, teaching you, single adults, how to get free from homosexuality, gender identity crises. You know, we teach on all of that stuff from a biblical perspective,
so
with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to get delivered, you will get delivered.
Woo! So people can register to attend this. I know, is it the NatashaBarmanMinistries.com?
Yes, or ggatesministries.com.
Okay, Natasha, NatashaBarmanMinistries.com, because a lot of our listeners are on the radio, so I want to make sure I make this clear. So it's Natasha, Natasha Byrams, Byrams, ministries.com, or G Gates Training Institute.
ggatesministries.com.
Oh, ggatesministries.com. I'm sorry. I'm looking at what Esther posted. Do they register online? Is there a fee?
Register online.
Okay.
You know, all of the information is online. More information about each class, even our trauma class. We just had a trauma class, bring people out of trauma, inner healing. And trauma could be little things. It doesn't have to be this huge thing that happened to you. It could just be, you know, I was raised in a home where I was never affirmed, and now you battle insecurity, you battle inferiority, you deal with self-doubt, you have no confidence, you want to move forward, but you're just afraid, you deal with fear, you know, and so dealing with those heart issues to bring people to a place where they're free. You know, and they can move forward in their calling and in their identity.
I love it. I just hear the love of God. Like, I love how you love people. You know, I mean, you have to love people in order to do what you're doing. And all I hear is the heart of God to want to have people free. And it's just so, it's so refreshing to hear that. So thank you for that. I want to come to Tulsa to take some of these classes, but I may be having to do them online because school going to be in start.
Yes, Angela, come.
I want to. So, y'all, if you have a chance, you have got to get online. Go look her up, Natasha Byrams Ministries. Go register for her classes. They start in August. You will not be disappointed. I love if you have teenagers, the sexuality one, if you deal with things with sexuality, I mean, even the trauma, like she was saying, it could be the smallest things that could be keeping us from walking forward and for, you know, like the world likes to say, living our best life, but we know living our best life is in Christ. So with that said, thank you. Is there any last minute words that you want to say before we get out of here?
I just want to encourage people, just, you know, don't be afraid to believe that you can be free.
So good.
You know, you may have tried over and over and over. You come out of some stuff. Mm-hmm. You may have taken programs, 12-step this, 5-step that. Mm-hmm. You know, read all kinds of books. And you just feel like, you know, I don't know. And that's why we say freedom is a reality. It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And sometimes you just need some deeper truth to get to the root of that thing. You know, we perish for lack of knowledge.
So
you need some deeper truth, to have that aha moment. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And I'm telling you, it's in the Word. God wants you free, and He paid the price, and it is a reality. So go after it. Don't be afraid. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. You know, don't let him make you think it's pointless. It's not going to work. Maybe for somebody else.
Ooh,
we
so
can't
good.
All of that in the name of Jesus. If you are hearing this, it's because God is calling you, wooing you again, and telling you, hey, I'm making a way for you. I'm making a way for you. And so I just want to reiterate that the heart of the Father is for you to walk in freedom and restoration.
Ah, thank you, Pastor Natasha. With that said, that is our show. Thank you for tuning in. I told you guys you would not be disappointed. You were going to take something away. Tune in next week. Same time, same place. We will see you on the stream Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We have another great guest. Again, if you would like to go and take her classes, you won't be disappointed. If you are blessed by this show, you can go to fbrn.us and go to the show page. There's a donate button at the bottom and give to the ministry to keep the show on the air. Have a great time and be blessed. Remember, God is for you. He is not against you, and He always wants you to win. All right. See you next week.